und so herzlich geklingt.
Du gibst die Fülle des Sehens.
bitten wir Bruder Frank nach vorne.
Dankeschön. Soll ich meine Enttäuschung?
Shall I first express my disappointment here now? I would have liked to hear such an amen from the congregation and God also. What was said here in just a few minutes was so precious, so tremendous, and the people are silent. Even in the Old Testament, when God declared the 12 words of blessing, all should answer with an amen. All should answer with an amen. To be honest, I don't know whether we can continue like this. God must hear it, that we are being taken along on the inside, that God's word is addressing us. And the next thing is, do you know how the last message to the church starts? Shall I read it to you? From Revelation, chapter 3. And then we will also sing, Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord. We are not only here to hear God's word, we are here to receive it, to believe it, and to experience. We must go along on the inside, having an amen to the word. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen. He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Not the creation of the heaven and the earth, not the creation of the visible things, the creation of God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Let us stand up and sing, Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we ask you for the leading and inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We are placing the whole meeting under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Beloved Lord, your word alone shall be the lamp unto our feet. Have thine own way with us, and may the fruit for eternity come forth, and may your word accomplish for what it was sent for. You have sent it to you, to us. You have revealed it to us. You made the written word to become the living and revealed word. Bless us and be with us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I also would like to welcome all of you, and I greet all in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Should our brethren in Chile now listen to the word, God willing, on the 7th of October, 1:30, arrival in Concepcion. Should they hear it in Lima, God willing, arrival on the 9th of October, 5:12. This is the long journey with the 18 stations, and we trust the Lord that he will make all things well, giving travel mercies. One word to all the ministering brethren from the various countries who are here, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, and from France, from Belgium. Don't feel overlooked, from Romania, from everywhere. Don't feel overlooked. We appreciate all of you, and we love all of you, and we believe that God placed you there where you are for a testimony to, as our brethren recognized it in Africa, to carry on the same word, the same revelation which God gave us, to carry it on. We have heard reports that after the meetings in Africa, brethren were again coming in contact with each other, that separations were coming to an end, that brothers have left their own ways and were brought back onto the way of the Lord, and that the unity of the Spirit was restored. Because actually, it's always the ministering brethren who are causing splits. It's never the people, never the flock. It's always the shepherds. And therefore God spoke already through the prophet Ezekiel. There are shepherds who feed themselves, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And this happens, of course, also in our time. We are just very, very grateful to God that the fear of God and the reverence for his word was laid into our hearts, and that indeed every interpretation of the word is disgusting and sickening for us. And it's not appropriate to say this here, but interpretations cause sometimes even one's stomach to be turned around. One just can't stand it. And do you know why? Because it comes from the enemy. The first misinterpretation of the word goes back into the Garden of Eden. And how did Brother Branham time and again emphasize it? And he said, it was not a whole chapter, not a whole verse, but just one single word which was changed or added, and that was it. That was it. And therefore, we may and can at this place not tolerate anything, really nothing, except it is God's holy word. And this is not established on one scripture only, but always on several scriptures. Why do we have four Gospels if one would have been enough? Why do we have the book of Acts? Why do we have the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the others if one prophetic word would have been enough? And then we have the Old and the New Testament, really in a full harmony. This I'm indeed always saying with an inner satisfaction. Dr. Larkin counted it, he wrote it, that in the New Testament there are 845 quotes from the Old Testament. So, the New Testament contains the evidence that all what God said from the beginning, that it was fulfilled. And it can be checked. And when we then say that God does all things according to His Word, then we must go straight to the beginning and say, John the Baptist was a promised prophet. And then we must go on and on. In Luke 4, our Lord took the book of the prophet Isaiah and was reading from it and said, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. And he goes to Luke 24, and there it's written, did not all had to be fulfilled what is written of me in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets? Everything concerning the Redeemer was written. Everything what concerns the redeemed is written. The whole plan of salvation of our God was foreshadowed and written down in advance and is taking place right up to the consummation. At this place, we have put the main emphasis onto the Word, just as the Lord revealed it to Brother Branham. We did not speak about the earthquake. It's not especially about them. But for all who have heard about it, for today, the great earthquake was predicted. The breaking away of the west coast of the USA, the giving way of the Andreas Fault. And the brother who did that, he made it very easy for himself. He said, if it comes to pass, then you can call me a prophet. And if it does not happen, then forget it. And so easy, one cannot make it for oneself. We all know, Brother Branham has seen it. Los Angeles, of course, was 1906. that city which God has chosen on this earth to give the full breakthrough by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit after 2,000 years. And here it's no good when one mentions Azusa Street and Mr. Paraham and people who were witnessing it. The question is, of course, what happened since then? The same people who were filled with the Holy Ghost before World War I have, after World War II, witnessed still the ministry of Brother Branham, at least most of them. But if one looks at it, then nothing usable was left for God. It became a new organization, or several organizations. The Trinity and the Oneness people, they are of course the various Pentecostal movements, and all, not only the Trinity people who are speaking so much in tongues up to this very day, and they are speaking around God, because what God really said, they do not even implicate into the divine program. Since when does God speak in the Spirit and bypasses all His promises? No! When God speaks through the Spirit, then He leads into the promises and into the fulfillment. And thereby, we of course recognize that it is from God. So, it will take place. And Brother Branham said, in regards to his son Billy Paul, who is born in 35, if I'm not mistaken, you will not be an old man, and the fishes of the sea will swim there where you are standing now. Very nice. Now, he is almost 70, and we don't know when it will take place. At this place, we do not set value on day or hour. We set the value on that the church is being called out, washed, purified, and prepared until God's pleasure rests on us, and the sealing with the Holy Ghost can really take place. That it is not only an anointing where we then speak, but revelation by the Spirit where God speaks. Where God speaks through the Spirit according to His Word. You can all look it up in Luke 1, Luke 2. Doesn't matter. Be it Mary, be it Zacharias, be it Simon, all upon whom the Spirit of God came, they all were quoting one scripture after the other one. Why? Because they were led by the Spirit of God. The enemy uses always the same trick. He remains with the subject, also with Bible subjects, but he avoids the truth. He, of course, is the opposite of the truth. And when he speaks the lie, then he speaks from his most inner being, as God, who told us the truth, who Himself is the truth, spoke from His most inner being. Just a few points now, to show us how necessary it is to understand God's word rightly. I think here on the time of the Reformation. In a few years, in the year 2017, it will be 500 years ago. And at that time, the people who believed and who were baptized, they had to go through a terrible persecution. According to history, about 6,000 people in the time of rebaptizing people, they had to give their lives. And do you know because of which scripture? Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. At that time, they took themselves the right to call all who were baptized biblically, they called them heretics. Because they said, there may not be a second baptism. According to the Bible, there may be just one baptism. Because it is written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And by this one baptism, they were, according to their understanding, they were baptized into the state church. And that was it. Yes, that was it for them, but not for God, and not for the true believers. So since that time, people really were in trouble, because even the most favored man of God, Martin Luther, who had a wonderful experience of salvation, this man said, cursed are all the Anabaptists. He, because of the misunderstanding that the baptism, which in fact is not even a baptism, that's what I'm saying, based upon the Holy Scripture, namely a sprinkling is not a baptism. A baptism happens by a single immersion. The man must first be converted, must have an experience with God, receiving the forgiveness of sins before he can be baptized. But because of the misunderstanding that there should be only one baptism and only one Lord, therefore came the condemnation of those who were led by the Lord to be baptized. Just think of it. Satan could make use of the misunderstanding, namely, because the word was not revealed to them. He enslaved the people and kept them in bondage. And the people did not understand that God made a new beginning. It hurts me directly that Satan over and over again takes the word of God to mislead the people with it, because he twists it to them. Therefore, in our midst is the emphasis is on the divine fact that we need the revelation by the Spirit. Here also, the various Bible translations do not help. I, of course, have quite a couple of them in many languages, but this is not enough. One indeed must have the revelation by the Spirit of God. Not only that we understand Matthew 28 properly, also all the other scriptures can only be understood by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because baptism and spirit baptism, so biblical water baptism, is our consent to God that we accepted salvation, receiving forgiveness. I would like to read for this the word from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to give a bit light about it from the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, first verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. But here Christ is already shown to us as the head of the church, as the head. And the body is then the church. Let us read verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Not into a church, not into a religion, but into a body, and not into some kind of body somehow or somewhen, but into the body of Jesus Christ, who is made up of many living members, of born again children of God. So, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Let me read this verse again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We see, I was actually expecting the second part here a bit sooner. So, it is not only a baptism. This is the one part which we are doing from our side in obedience to the Word. And then God gives His Amen. And this is then the Spirit baptism. Because thus, it is written in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It just belongs to it. Not only the water baptism, the Spirit baptism belongs to it. And he who reads Matthew 3 will see that our Redeemer went before us, showing us the way. And both happened. He said, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. John baptized him. He did not pour upon him. He also didn't sprinkle upon him, but he baptized him. And when he came out of the water, it happened that the heaven opened and the Spirit of God descended. Now he was the anointed one who could start his ministry. And the same way it is with us. The obedience to the Word must just be newly erected. I just mention this because there are now people who say, but we are already baptized as believers. And then there are those who can say, I was already baptized as an infant, and then I was again baptized here and there. I already met people who were three times baptized, but never correctly. And they were then baptized for the fourth time, but actually for the first time. Because the first three times do not count at all. So, when the Holy Scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, then with it, the one Lord is meant. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And when we say that He is the Lord, then we confess hereby that there is only one Lord. And this Lord is God, and God is the Lord. So, always going back to the overall testimony of the Holy Scripture, the enemy, let me repeat it, the enemy mis- and interprets every word and enslaves with it the people, and sometimes they are led from one prison into the other one. But God leads into liberty, into the liberty of the children of God, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, all who were somehow sprinkled and poured upon, or as it also happens time and again, by a three times immersion in the name of the... One doesn't want to repeat it here. Maybe therefore not. And I will write about it. That in the original, in all the handwritten manuscripts, there Matthew 28:19 was not in the way we have it today. There, indeed, was written, Eusebius, one of the church scholars, he confirms it. Originally, it stated in Matthew 28, it just stated, go into all the world, teach all nations, and make disciples, and baptize them into my name. That's how it is written in all the handwritings. Only then, when one divided and split up the Godhead, then one needed rear cover and was hiding behind this upcoming formula. And both is heresy, the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine to baptize into a Trinity. God is one. Although He has revealed Himself to us as Father in heaven, in the Son on earth, and by the Holy Spirit in us, He remains one and the same throughout all eternity. So, should somebody have been baptized once and also twice, one time little, one time big, forget it today and forever. Only then, when you believed biblically, and having received the meaning of baptism by the revelation of the Spirit, namely, as Paul expressed it, not only in Romans, in chapter 6, also to the Colossians, and here and there, that we first must die with Christ, being crucified with him, and then being buried with him by baptism. An infant doesn't know anything of what happened on Calvary. The enemy indeed managed up to this very day to mislead the people. And when we then say with much pain in our hearts that even all who have tasted the cup of salvation, who say to have experienced the grace of God, nevertheless remain in all the traditional doctrines without coming out of them, then they did not recognize the hour in which we are living now. Then they did not understand that now is not the time of compromises where religions are being united. This may happen where the enemy has his rule, but in the church of the living God must return the fear of God. One must receive his word with reverence, saying, Lord, I agree with you. I say amen to your word. When, for instance, Peter or Paul or Philip baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we say amen to that. But who says amen? Only he who lets himself be positioned biblically. And when one then hears from the mouth of brethren, especially when they come from the full gospel, that Brother Branham was spreading false doctrines because he didn't proclaim the Trinity and not the triune baptism, and especially because he was showing the women their place. You all know there is hardly a sermon in which Brother Branham was not aiming at the women. And why? Because 1933 he was shown that the women would get the right to vote, that they would leave the place which God had given them, going into professions and going into life. And what happened since then? Families suffered. But to come now to the point, it went so far that one of the greatest healing evangelists came to Brother Branham and he said, let me pray for you. You are destroying your ministry. You have a ministry from God, a special ministry, but you are destroying your ministry because you are always attacking the women and so forth. And then Brother Branham said, when through the ministry which God has given me, destruction comes to what he has sent it for, this I do not believe. God sends a ministry for a specific purpose. And we recognized by grace that all the great men bypassed what God has done. For them, signs and wonders were what they were actually looking for. And what was left, a whole generation is seeking signs and wonders. And he who is in Catholic countries, especially in South and Central America, or he would go to Fatima or Lourdes or Altötting or Einsiedeln or here and there, The people are going there. They are driven there. Cripples are going there to get healed. But what did Brother Branham say? The sickest body is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the body which needs healing, divine healing. And the medicine, God Himself says it. Is there no physician? Is there no balm in Gilead? God has everything ready for us, but we must surrender to Him, saying, from now on, my own conviction does not count anymore. From now on, I'm convinced of the truth by Thy Spirit and by Thy Word. The conviction must come by the Spirit of God. And then we do not teach each other anymore, but God teaches all of us by grace. There are a number of things. For instance, if we look to Jerusalem, and there it hurts the most. When it happens in Rome, then it's a thing for us where the enemy has erected his seat and from where he is ruling the earth. He is still the prince of this world. The God of this world, who is doing His mischief in the children of disobedience. That's how it is written. And that's how it is up to this very day. I heard that recently there was a discussion on TV whether Paul actually could have been a Roman citizen, because he was staying in Israel, and the gentlemen were discussing here and there, instead of looking up history to see the year 63 was a special year, and the year 30 before Christ was the beginning of the dominion of the Roman Empire. And Paul was born as Saul of Tarsus, already as a Roman citizen, as he states it himself in the book of Acts. But one looks for a way out. And what we see now, brothers and sisters, is of course not by chance. It is again the coming up of the old Roman Empire under the rulership of Rome. All the important treaties are signed in Rome. And one just has to know that from there the world dominion is going forth. Not only Urbi et Orbi as a blessing at the year's end or at Christmas, but the world dominion is executed. But when we think on Jerusalem, then somehow pain is in us. And I had to think especially about the one scripture which in Israel, which is in Israel the most important one. There is hardly a scripture which could top Exodus 23, verse 19. Why it was made so important, I don't know. Perhaps because it was misunderstood. And even the translation is not correct compared to the original text. I read it. The first, do you have the text? Exodus 23, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. And now comes the very important scripture for the Orthodox Jews. Thou shalt not boil a kid in his mother's milk. There are most surely housewives in our midst, also good housewives, I'm sure of that. But up to this day, I personally have never heard that some kind of meat is boiled in some kind of milk. The milk soup is milk soup and meat soup is meat soup. That's how I know it up to this day. And what did we do? Brother Kramer is a very good help to me. We looked it up in the translation of the year 1861. And do you know what the text says there? And thou shalt not boil the kid as long as it sucks the mother's milk. Now just imagine this big difference. According to the law, the kid should be 7 days with the mother and enjoying the mother's milk. Only on the eighth day it could be sacrificed. And now it is indeed written, I read it again, and thou shalt not boil the kid as long as it sucks the mother's milk. So, not during the 7 days where the newborn is sucking the mother's milk. Wait until this activity is over and then consecrate it to me on the eighth day. One could go to Leviticus 23. But I'm just saying here how easy misunderstandings can come up when there is no revelation. And when I repeat here today, it's not enough to compare translations. I could fill my desk with various translations from left to right. Revelation comes only from God. And it comes then when we need it. Then God grants it to us. And I tell you also why God gives revelation. Because we don't know it by ourselves. We are not intelligent enough to know all things. And therefore, we are humble enough to let God reveal everything unto us. And this, of course, is the grace which God has given us. When we then go to all the other scriptures, there our Lord says, our Lord speaks to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, in verse 22, and he says, salvation is of the Jews. And already there are plenty of Jews who just say, without us, there is nothing with you. You are depending on us because salvation is of the Jews. When one hears all these various interpretations, then one really starts to feel otherwise. Salvation comes from God. With this, you can go to Romans chapter 9 from verse 5. All the covenants, everything God made with Israel. Maybe we should read it. Romans chapter 9. I really believe it's the Spirit of God who wants to expose now all these tricks of the enemy, who takes the word of God, giving the people a rope to hang them on it. And this must have an end. It must stop in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And to this it is necessary that we indeed take all the scriptures pertaining to it. Here we have Romans chapter 9 from verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. This is wonderful. That's how we believe it. God has chosen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers, the 12 tribes, and our Lord came forth from this pure lineage. But Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, was of course neither a Jew nor a Gentile. He was Emmanuel, God manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. And therefore, the Jews set value on that the children always are ascribed to the mother. Mary was just the carrier. She was the mother. God did the fathering by the Holy Ghost. And therefore it says, the Holy One, born of you, is of the Holy Ghost and shall be called the Son of God. Who said it here from our brothers? As the grain of wheat, which is put into the ground with all its qualities, is coming up in the harvest, so it will be with all of us. Whether we understand it or not, we have become sons and daughters of God because of the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with himself. And then in Galatians 4 from verse 4, that we in him, the Son, were appointed as sons. And also in Romans chapter 8 from verse 26, brothers and sisters, this all was not only given to observe it, but that we believe it, that we experience it, and that we are coming to the obedience of faith, so that finally God's pleasure can rest on us, and that we all become partakers of the divine nature with all the promises which God gave us, and so that the Spirit of God can carry out the sealing by grace. Now, to just touch briefly the sealing, what was it? In the prophet Daniel, Daniel was told, seal the book until the end time. And if we could go now to Revelation 5, and pointing to what God has done in our time, so of course we know that two things are written. Firstly, that the book shall be sealed, and then seal the word in my disciples. You can read it in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 8. Both belong together. When the sealed book is opened and the word revealed, and when we then receive it, then both has taken place. Firstly, the opening of the seals, of what was sealed, and then the word which God revealed and laid into our hearts is being sealed there. This is the divine substance, the divine content. And here we must say very strongly, God is in no interpretation. Really not. I've heard it today from our brother from Luanda, how people are opposing this kind of preaching, how they with all means are fighting against it, also against the word carrier, fighting with all means to make him untrustworthy and impossible. This makes us sad, but not so much concerned. God has the last word. And we dare to say that every interpretation is of the enemy, and that God cannot be found in any interpretation. Only the one who gives the people a rope to hang them on it. We have nothing to do with interpretations, because we have received the true meaning and significance of the word. And now, coming to the very much disputed point in Revelation 10. When God, and let me come back first to Daniel 12, where everything was revealed to him about the four world empires, about the Antichrist, about the last world power in the special. All the details were revealed to him. And this not only by inspiration. The angel Gabriel came to him and told him the visions which he saw. He simply said, what you see now in the vision, it's like this and that. And he gave him clarification and clarification. Daniel did not need to interpret. To him, the true meaning was revealed on the spot. But now the comparison. Everything was revealed and written down, and then seal the book until the end time. In Revelation 10, nothing was written down of what the seven thunders uttered. It should be sealed without being even written, so that no one gets access. The Amen was not loud enough.
Das Amen war noch nicht laut genug. Man muss einfach zum Wort zurückkommen.
Man must just come back to the Word. And they are reading precisely and getting it revealed by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, for quite some time, or for quite some days, I was pointed to a certain scripture and was really searching and searching. Time and again I thought, my goodness, in Africa, I told the people, although I am still looking quite young, I'm still having a few years behind me. And then they, of course, were laughing a bit. But the scripture which I was looking for, I found it this morning. Thanks be to God. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. What did the enemy tell to Eve? You shall be wise. You will be wise. You will be wise. Your eyes will be opened. Yes, you will be like God. You will overlook all things. You will know all things. What was it? What was in being wise? What was in the tree of knowledge? The serpent and the death, separation from God. Brothers and sisters, not interpretations, but the word in the original, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remain forever. And we say today with Peter, and this is not only a confession, this is the truth. And this is the word which we preached unto you as the everlasting gospel. William Branham did not bring a new religion into existence, not a new denomination. He brought us back to the faith of the fathers, to the original word of the apostles and prophets. And here, no prophet and no apostle was the center. The foundation was then and is today Jesus Christ, being built on the foundation, on the cornerstone, and Jesus Christ is also the capstone. Thanks be to God for the prophetic ministry. Thanks be to God for the opening of the seals. Thanks be to God for everything what He has done. Thanks be to God that He is leading us by His Spirit into His Word. There is no need among us to be wise in our own conceits. This only happens. You all know the fall comes only when somebody says, I will, I will. And then it's too late. The five I will at the fall of Lucifer. I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will go to the Mount of Congregation. You can all read it. It's written in every Bible. Let us forget once and for all the I will. And let us submit wholeheartedly into the will of God. Not my will, but thy will. Thy will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the fear of God returns. And then also the brethren who do not accept correction today, they will see that they come to an end with their interpretations. Just one more remark. He who witnessed all this internationally, how often horse and rider were changed, how many thunder doctrines, this one and this one, and then again another one. I don't want to go into details at all. With God, all things remain as they were. And when you are coming here, and this is for all who are listening and watching, we have no new revelation. We have no new doctrine. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Spirit of God, who leads us into all truth. More we don't want, and less also we don't want, but only what God has prepared for us. And our Lord says, if my words abide in you, and remember the comparison of the temptation of our Lord and of the fall, you will be wise. Oh, how nice it is when a preacher can step on the platform saying, I received a revelation, I can tell it to you now. Oh, that makes the preacher to feel so good. because he knows more than the people who are sitting there. But when his knowledge bypasses God, what shall I do with it? And with this, I'm meaning all those who are walking on wrong ways, presenting wrong teachings about seven seals, seven thunders, about all kinds of things, not even knowing what kind of calamity they bring unto themselves and unto others. May it once and for all be with us like this, that to us only the word of our God counts, and everything else is for others. What good is it when we say all the others are wrong, if those who are in the end time message brought more error onto the agenda than all the churches together since the time of Reformation? It is unbelievable what is being said there. We distance ourselves worldwide from all what is under the term end time message, or whatever the term might be. If it is not in line with the word of God, then we have nothing to do with it. God watches only over his word. When people are distributing prayer cloths, which we are laying somewhere for 35 years, then it's up to him. I do not distribute them. To me, a handkerchief is enough, and if somebody wants it, he can have it. And when somebody believes Brother Branham will return to have the 10th mission, then he shall believe it. I have no promise for that in the Bible, and I leave it up to God what he does. But believing and preaching, I can only what is written in the Bible. Amen, and again amen. Let us stand up, let us pray.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein.
How many were spoken to by the Lord? I believe God addressed all of us. We want to rededicate ourselves to him, saying with all our hearts, Beloved Lord, our God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We wish that God works in us the obedience to his word, and that the church is a pure word bride, which does not tolerate any strange doctrine nor spirit, but only the teaching which comes from God and which is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. May it happen today at this place and everywhere, that God comes to his right with all of us.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Let us thank together, Heavenly Father. We thank thee with all our hearts for thy holy word, which remains forever, for the revelation by thy Spirit, for the leading by thy Spirit into all truth.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh God! Oh God! Oh God! Halleluja! Preiset den Herrn! Preiset den Herrn! Preise Gott. Halleluja. 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 Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott. Halleluja. 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 Oh Gott. Oh Gott. Oh Gott. Halleluja. 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 Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott. Singen wir gemeinsam. Es ist Kraft. Es ist Kraft.
Es ist Kraft. Kraft.
On which words are we thinking now? Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life is in the blood. Isaiah chapter 53. When he gives his life for an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days. We could go to Hebrews, also to 1 Peter chapter 1. Not with gold or silver we were redeemed, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, in which was divine life. And this blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. It acquits us. Hallelujah! Thanks be to God. Blood-bought flock, thank the Lord. Glorify the power of his blood. Satan, the destruction angel, must pass over us. He may not touch us. He may not touch us. Hallelujah! When the Lord sees the blood, this is our protection. And we all believe with all our hearts in the blood of atonement and of redemption. One more question. Are there some here who want to be baptized, who have heard the word and who believe now, and who want to make a covenant of a good conscience with God, and who want to be baptized biblically? Then just raise your hands so that we see. Up to now, I'm just seeing one person. Brother Rus, you see three?
Oben.
On top?
Ja, oben. Wir können heute taufen.
We can have the baptism today, if the Lord tarries. We can also have it in 4 weeks. What do we say? Today? Today. All right. Always, when the word goes forth and when the people want to be baptized, then it's the right time. Then I was asked to announce, God willing, and if the Lord still tarries, we are planning for the coming year an Israel trip. I think from the 2nd or 3rd of May, it's a Monday, up to Friday, the 13th of May. And the airlines want that one registers bindingly so that the seats can be booked for a larger group. So he who intends to come with us, let us know. You may be seated. God bless us all. Amen.